WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. It's such an honor to be with you tonight. Listen, we have so many exciting things going on, and we are the Bride Ministries. I just cannot wait to tell you about them all. First of all, we launched our new website, which is watbradio.com, and on there it has a lot of more exciting things. First of all, I want to say welcome to our new director, Tristan Major, and also to our new assistant director, Pastor Angela Walker. And these are going to serve all of you ministries well. And so far, we have about 15 to 20 new hosts that are in the process of being trained, and they are going to be able to interview you people from all over the world. It is our honor here to highlight what God is doing in your ministry. And listen, we believe this with the bottom of our heart, that through this ministry, we are releasing the sound in the earth of unity in the Bride of Christ. Okay, and here is Mr. Tristan.
Hello, Bride. It's an honor to get to speak to you. I just wanted to mention that you can. We are honored to serve all of you and highlight your ministries and get the word out about what God is doing through you and with your ministry and in your area, even if you want to highlight what's going on with other churches around where you are. It's all about unity, and it's all about promoting everyone and bringing everyone together in unity under Christ. If you would like to advertise on us, we offer many options. We offer different options on our website at watbradio.com/advertise. And if you just want to donate to help us stay on the air and take care of whatever we need to take care of, whatever God presents before us, it's watbradio.com/donate. And here's June again.
Hallelujah. Listen, Brian, the Lord has blessed us with the money to start watb.tv. This is going to start in the fall. We are so excited to bring unity at a new level and to be preparing platforms for the bride to be able to have a voice to reach the harvest. Amen. So stay tuned to hear. Now go to our website at watb.tv and register if you're interested in having a show on there or interested in participating in that. Amen. Now also, if you'll go to our website at wearethebride.us, you will see many different ways that you can engage with us. You can become a volunteer. On our volunteer page, we need many volunteers, web designers, graphic designers, people that will just take calls, people that are prayer warriors, people that can just type, people that can visit us in the different cities while we're traveling, anything, just go on there. Listen, we have the motto, just as I am. We will take you just as you are. If you have the heart to love and to give back to the bride, this is the place to be, because we want all of us to come together. Look, this is God's ministry, and so we're just serving Him in the spirit of excellence. Amen. Now listen, all of you from other nations that listen to this broadcast, we now have a new director named Kenny Major that is able to focus purely on the bride overseas. And that, if you go to our website, wearethebride.us/nations, you'll be able to register your nation. And also, she has a page on Facebook, and we want to build a relationship with you. So that is through WATB Nations. Okay, also the WATB Bride Fest. Bride Fest is a ceremony of purification, basically. It's just giving your life 100% to the Lord, dropping all of your dreams and the way you think your life should be and everything, just laying it down for the call that God wants to do with us. It's rising us up as the army of the living God in this last moment. So check out the website at WATB Bride Fest. We do have one coming up July 17th and 18th at the Hopkinsville Prayer Center, Hopkinsville Revival Center. If you can go ahead and mark your calendar on July the 17th and 18th. Also, if you have prayer requests, listen, we have an intercession team now. I think we got how many, Tristan? 12 or 15 people on the intercession team. Submit your prayer request. And listen, thank you so much. Now, Tristan wants to say one more thing.
We'd really like it if the bride would lift up June as she's going on a month and a half long trip. She's going to be out of town, and she's basically going on faith. So if y'all would lift her up, that God would provide for her over the next month and a half, and that God's will be done, and that he would show up mightily as he... Yeah. As she travels to meet all of you that have been on, some of you have been on the radio, some of you are going to be on the radio in the future. It's just a way of blessing and helping to unify the body of Christ even further. So just keep her in your prayers and your thoughts and lift her up to God as she goes forward and does his will as best she's able.
Hallelujah, bride. Okay, we pray that you enjoy this broadcast. God bless you.
Hello, bride. Pleasure to get to speak with you all again. Today we have with us Bert Crevier. He's a doctor. He's also a pilot. He's been flown over 20,000 hours, and he's been taken up to heaven and talked to God and been given revelation about a fair number of things. And he's going to, we're honored to have him here and tell us about it. How you doing, Bert?
Hey, good, Tristan. Nice talking to you.
Good to be talking to you as well. So, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? I mean, I know that we all start as nothing. We'd like to know how you got to where you are, how God moved into your life.
Sure. Yeah, I came from a Catholic background. I was raised in a family of 12. We grew up on a farm. And the Catholic faith taught me how to fear God. I know there's flaws and things in the Catholic faith, but it was, I thank God for that religion because it gave me a foundation and it taught me how to reverence God. I got saved at 14, and fast forward, that was in 1975, and fast forward to the middle 90s, I got spirit-filled along with a lot of my siblings, and I'd never been introduced to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where it talks about in Matthew 3:11, the one mightier than I will baptize you with the holy fire of God. And that was a new revelation for me because I never knew what that was. I always thought fire was from the fires of hell, you know, reading the Bible. And I was reading it for knowledge, not revelation. I didn't realize how alive the Word of God was. And then my nephews, when this happened, started having throne room visitations. They were going to heaven, and they were like 10 and 12 years old. And you knew that the kind of revelations that they were coming back with that a young boy couldn't make up. You know, they were saying things that were eternal. And it was, and that was, and so it was far-reaching on our family. It was a great effect on our family. So, but I saw what they had, and I wanted it really bad, and because I'd never seen anything like it, it was life-changing, and this is back in the late 1990s, and then February 2000. I had gone through a divorce, and I was in dire straits, and I was along a country road just spending my quiet time with God. It was just by this little abandoned church out in the middle of nowhere, and it was really, and I was listening to this music, and all of a sudden I was thrust right into the throne room of heaven. It's like the Bible became alive. The Lord showed me, because I saw doors in heaven, and he says, well, this is revelation, because every time he would give me a throne room visitation, he would show me where it was in the Bible, like Revelation 4, you know, it talks about a door in heaven and a throne room, and I saw all these different things, and I saw like there was an outer courts of heaven, an inner courts, a holy of holies, and heaven was a physical place as well as a spiritual place, but there were two things that really profoundly, that I'll never forget as long as I live, they're etched in my mind, actually three. The one thing I knew, I learned as a believer, as a follower of the Lord, that you don't want to leave this earth with your earthly business unfinished, because what you don't get worked out down here, between whether it's siblings or friends or husband or wife or whatever, you have to get it worked out up there. Like it talks about in 2 Corinthians 5, where we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, and a lot of Christians, they think that because, well, I'm forgiven, and the question is not whether you're going to heaven or hell. The question is how close of a rank in heaven are you going to be? Because in 2 Corinthians 5, as you read it, it talks about he's gonna put a fire to our works. You know, a lot of the people, they think, well, I'm forgiven. Yeah, you're forgiven, but there's still consequences for what we do here on earth and every word that we say. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So we'll suffer loss, but not the loss of our eternal soul. And the other two things I saw, you know how when you read in Psalms, like it talks about, like, there's the garment of praise and the garment of glory, you know, I was reading in Jude the other day, where it talks about don't let the things of your fleshly garments damage your rank in heaven. I believe that's like 13 or 14 in Jude or whatever. And I saw people, most of the people that made it to heaven, they were clothed basically with just the garment of salvation. They didn't like have the garment of tongues on. They didn't have the garment of praise. They never learned how to pray in tongues or pray in the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? And so what was really profound to me is that it's like you want to learn much about God as you can this side of eternity, because the more you advance yourself here, the more you will advance yourself, you know, in eternity. You do like 2 years down here, it'll be light years in eternity. And then he showed me like the inner courts and then the Holy of Holies. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, you talk about the bride of Christ. From what I saw, now this is just, I can only tell you what I saw, and you know, and what the Lord showed me in the Word. You know how in the Bible it talks about, sprinkled throughout the epistles, he talks about the elect, he talks about the righteous, and the bride. Now those are different categories of people, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll say like in Matthew, for the elect's sake, for those days will cut short, and or the righteous, and then the unrighteous, and then there's the bride. What I saw, there were 5% of the people, of all the people that ever lived, that were in the throne room. And most of the throne room was surrounded by very few men, but mostly women and children. And then the inner courts was probably 15%. You know, and I'm just guessing. I'm just telling you what I saw. And then then on the outer courts was 80% of the people that all went to heaven. Most people that make it to heaven, from what I saw, were on the outer courts of heaven, and they had their garments, you know, in their rank, and how you live your life will determine, you know, what garments you wear and what your rank is in eternity. So
yeah,
that's kind of what I was seeing there. So do you have any questions that you'd like to interject, or you want me to keep talking, or?
Well, how did this experience change your life? I mean, that's a pretty profound experience to go through.
How did it change my life? Well, it changed my life. The Lord had told me through these throne room visitations, because I had hundreds of them, he said, you know, I would realize that he'd tell me things, and then because he said it in eternity, it's hard for the flesh to comprehend it.
Yeah.
He told me to move out to the East Coast back in, like, early 2000, and so I went out there, and I got a flying job, and he told me to build rock altars from every state, from Maine down to Florida, you know? And so I did it by faith, but prior to that, he had told me to go to, like, George Washington's grave and grab some soil, you know? And I don't know if you know about George Washington, but the long story short is that if you read the book, The Light and the Glory, there's excerpts in that book where he was shot and he was bulletproof and that the bullets never penetrated his body.
In his
vision, that where God appeared to him at Valley Forge, that the Lord showed him the birth, the progress, and the destiny of our whole country. And he said that three great perils would come on our country. And the first was the Revolutionary War. The second was the Civil War. And the third one is on the horizon. But in each one of those perils, God would turn America back to its original foundation. And so the Lord showed me all this, and I was doing these prophetic acts, and he gave me the scriptures in the Bible. Like, he said there was power in his bones. He said, pray for his anointing. It was like an Enoch anointing. And you know, when Elisha died, remember, I believe it's in 2 Kings, there was still an anointing on his bones, and when they threw somebody's body in there, the man became alive. See, all this stuff of old that's in the Bible, that's happened throughout the ages, is for this end-time work that he wants to do. So if I were to have it to wrap it up and surmise everything and say what my mission is, because everybody has a different destiny, is to impart this Enoch anointing that George Washington had, because even on his grave it says, I am the resurrection and the life, he that believes in me will never die but live. I thought, how profound. John 11:25 would be on his grave, and that, you know, in his own vision he saw himself coming out of heaven with his men from Valley Forge, if you read the vision, and that and even there's there were Union soldiers in the Civil War that saw him come out of heaven, and Confederate soldiers come out of heaven during the battles of Gettysburg. You can pull it up online. It's called The Ghost of George Washington. And it's all this information is documented in the libraries of Congress. And we as a church body have been so indoctrinated into not believing the supernatural.
Yeah,
that all the people that don't believe in God, they're into the supernatural. So the devil has done a good job, and don't believe it just because I'm saying. Take it before the Lord, you know, and press into God and see what the Lord tells you about this stuff. And so many people have been blessed by, they've had heavenly, I was in a meeting one time where I prayed for this little boy whose dad had committed suicide, and the little boy went to heaven right there in the meeting. His spirit went up and he came back. He was weeping. He says, my dad said he's sorry, you know, and his life was changed. So the bottom line to all this, this is an impartation to people that want to receive this Enoch anointing, because he never saw a death, you know, and neither did Elijah. And be with these revelations, if you read about Enoch, when he says, when Enoch walked with God, for he was not, for God took him, if you were to read that in the original language, it would say something like this: and Enoch was taken away by the hand of God. He was carried away by the angels. And then it says he was not, for God took him. So God progressively took him to heaven. He had all kinds of revelations before he left earth. And that's what's going on, not only with me, but there's other people out there that are having heavenly visitations, and God's eyes go to and fro. He's looking for anybody that wants to be faithful, that wants to receive this, Tristan, that it's an open invitation. And I mean, it's sad to say that you know, the churches should be teaching this. And me and my wife were watching TV the other day, and we're watching news on CNN, and they were saying how these are heathens talking. They're saying like the people in the church don't even believe, and they're not even living a godly life, you know. And I'm not bad mouthing churches and pastors, or, you know, God loves them and they all have a mission, but you know, we have to get real in what this is. It's an impartation of your single relationship with the Lord, so you can have your own thing with God. So not one person is here trying to spiritually feed you. It's supposed to be the Holy Spirit giving you this.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That sounds like something every Christian should want, honestly.
Well,
go
ahead.
Okay. I was just going to ask, could you tell me what exactly the Enoch anointing is?
Well, what the Enoch anointing is, if I were to say a definition of it, it's going to the throne room and walking closely with God and having these throne room visitations. And Enoch wasn't hardly ever mentioned in the Bible.
No.
And so what it is, it's a lonely walk with the Lord, and the fact that you're preaching to the bride, you're preaching to the people that, you know, that are, there's probably people that you're listening on your radio that have already had all this, and they're walking in the Enoch anointing, and they quote unquote don't even know it. You know what I'm saying? And so this is probably a divine appointment for the people that want to receive it. So I guess the answer to your question is the Enoch anointing is, it's a walk with God, like what it says in Enoch walk. And walk means to progressively go to the throne room. And then there's going to be an Enoch company that is just going to disappear. You know what I mean? And they're going to go. Because what the Lord told me, he said all the things in the Bible that happen, like the Elijah story, the Enoch, the translation of Philip, all these, like how Samuel came back and talked, you know, they say, well, that's talking to the dead. They're not dead. They're alive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're going to have the power. I told this to a pastor, and he called me a heretic. I said, we're going to have the power to go to a graveyard when this thing happens, and we'll be able to raise the dead, and the graves are going to open up. Where is that in the Bible? Well, when Jesus rose from the dead, it said
what
that...
What about Lazarus?
Right. He called him out of the grave. Hey, we're going to do greater things than he did. And then at the end of John, it says that Jesus, he did all these things that I suppose if you wrote in the books, all in the world, that you couldn't even contain. Well, what does that mean? Well, he must, in other words, he must have did a lot more in the Bible than what the Gospels point out, is my point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just covering, you know what I'm saying? So we need to pray
covering
for
the bare details so that we can get a hold on what Jesus, who Jesus was and what he did, basically.
Yeah, you know, and so so the Enoch anointing is walking with God and wanting that impartation. You see, because, the reason we're drawn to it, Tristan, is because we're supernatural beings.
Indeed.
And we can't help ourselves, because that's really where we belong. This earth is just our birthplace, and we're gonna live in eternity. So we're drawn to that supernatural entity of God. You know how the Bible says we were created in His image? Well,
yes.
Image doesn't just mean what He looks like. Image means that, in the original language, that we have the power to create. In other words, if I'm a pilot, I should have the power to create an airplane just by my spoken word. You see, and the devil has deceived us for so many centuries that we don't even know who we are as a people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And this is all stuff in the Bible, and you can't read it in the original language. You got to read it for revelation, knowledge, and power, and you got to get into the Word of God and look this stuff up. And I've looked this stuff up over the years, and I'm just scratching the surface. And I was just talking to some of my family members. I don't even feel like I begin to know who God is. One time I was in the throne room. I saw all these faces around the throne room, and they were terrifying. You know how it says in when Moses saw God, and so terrible was the sight, you know?
Yeah.
And for years I'd ask the Lord, what were those terrifying faces that I was afraid to look at? And He couldn't tell me. And finally, a couple of years ago, He told me what it was. He said that those, I thought they were saints or angels. He says, no, that's another entity. That my glory has a face, you know, and it's alive. The glory of God is actually alive, and even in the Old Testament, it talks about the eyes of the glory of God. And then you got the seven spirits of God. Then you got the Holy Spirit. Then you got Jesus. Then you got God the Father. I mean, this is just stuff that we know this side of eternity. And somebody says, "Are you saying there's many gods?" No, I'm not. There's only one God. All I'm saying is there's so many facets of God that we don't know about, you know, and it's like when Paul was caught up into heaven, he said, I can't put into English words what I even saw. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So as much as we can get prepared and get, you know, and don't concentrate on trying to bust somebody's chops because they got a scripture wrong or they said something incorrect. And, you know, there's too much of that going on. See, we need to look at, you know, what the person is doing, or I need to look at Tristan for what you're doing on your radio show. Well, Tristan, you said this wrong because, you know, well, that's not, you know what I'm saying? And that's where we need to be. Because, see, we're all imperfect, and God's using these clay pots, namely us, and we're going to learn so much when we get to heaven. One time he took me into his council room, and I saw the seven spirits of God, and I actually saw what Jesus looked like before he became the Word of God, before he became flesh, and they were talking some heavenly language, and I probably understood every fifth or sixth or seventh word. And I asked the Lord, what are you saying? And He said, if you will pray in tongues and read my word and get into my prayer time, He says, you would know more about what's going on up here. So basically, in a nice way, He kind of gave me a little tap on the head and said, Sonny boy, spend a little more time with you so when you get up here, you know what's going on. So when we get to heaven, so we'll know what's going on. So that was almost 15 years ago. So then what I did, you know, as I started scribing out the whole Bible, because I wanted to get as much word in me, even though I may not be reading it as I scribe it, you know, or whatever, at least it's going into my subconscious. You follow me?
Yeah, and that also reinforces it in a very different way.
Well, you know, and you find out how much you really don't know, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We really don't, you know. And we're going to spend an eternity learning about him. And go ahead. What?
I was just agreeing with you. Yeah, I mean, how do you really begin to get to know an infinite being? I mean, you're always at the beginning because there's always going to be an infinite amount more.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. You know, he showed me how he, you know, how our founding fathers, when they built Washington, D.C., it's in my two books, how it's laid out like a cross, and they say, well, there's Masonic things out there. Well, there is, but see, the cross is more powerful than any of that Masonic stuff. And the reason they built it with white pillars and marbles, they wanted Washington, D.C. to look like the throne room of heaven. They wanted it to look like a heavenly place. You know, I know it's not that today. You know, it's going the way of Romans 1, but it's going to turn back. It will turn back to God, and I'll guarantee you that. And because God is not done with this country. I mean, it's going to go through a chastisement, but he did show me.
Sorry, you're cutting out. All right. Well, Bert just dropped for just a minute. We'll be right back as soon as he gets back on the call with us. I'm going to play a song, God, You're Beautiful. Come back. Yeah, it does that sometimes. Well, apparently our website's being a little bit difficult. So as soon as he's back and can continue talking, we'll certainly hear more from Bert.
Christian, yeah, I must have got cut off. I guess the devil doesn't like all this. So,
I'm sure he doesn't.
But, George Washington, he had a visitation from the Lord at Valley Forge. In the 22 years after he lived, he documented many, many times. You know, and basically that was like a modern-day Abrahamic covenant, you know, because when you spell, you know all these people that say, what does America have to do with Israel? Well, George Washington's financial advisor was a man by the name of Hyman Solomon, and he lent George Washington like $6 million. And he died penniless. He gave him all of his money. He rallied all the Jews in Africa and America to help him fund our ill-fated Continental Army, who were to froze and starve to death at Valley Forge in the winter of 1777. And, you know, and when you spell Jerusalem, it's J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. So, I mean, we're connected to Israel. It really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. God loves Israel. And and it's all, you know, all this stuff is connected, and it's and he's revealing these things in the end days for those that really want to hear. You know how the Bible says, those who have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You see, he's talking to everybody, and he's no respecter of person. It's not that Bert Cravier is a special person, or I'm a sinner just like everybody else.
Yeah.
He's just wants to visit people. He loves us, you know, and he has a desire, you know. he wants us to get to know him, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was reading the Screwtape Letters recently by C.S. Lewis, and a lot of what you're saying lines up with what Lewis was writing in that. I mean, it's a very different perspective, mind you, considering it's from the enemy's perspective and how the enemy's trying to tempt us and get us off track.
Right.
But so much of what you're saying is very, very similar.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah, and that, you know, and since, you know, then, the Lord had me go to a Spirit-filled seminar, and he had me, you know, because he wanted me to search out the Scriptures. He said, I want your flesh to catch up with your spirit, you know.
Yeah.
So for 5 years, I did that, you know, and so, Jesus, he couldn't touch the scrolls in the synagogue unless he sat under man's law, see?
Yeah.
That's why they called him Rabbi Teacher, because he was schooled in the school of all the scrolls. He couldn't do it as a carpenter. See, so, you know, there's a lot of things we don't know about Jesus, you know, that I'm learning. You know, and there's so much information, you know, and if you open your mind up and say, Lord, let me read your word for revelation knowledge. Read the Bible for revelation, and, you know, he has a mission for everybody, you know, and it's going to take everybody to do the mission. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know. So that's what's going on. So but heaven has like libraries and schools, we're going to be, depending on how well schooled you are in heaven, will determine whether you're going to be a teacher up there or a student. You know what I mean? And things like that, you know. And all this stuff is in the Bible. It's actually in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So everything you see on earth is basically an extension of what heaven is, you know. The trees, you know how it says, for God's love of the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, the world in the original language means that he died for the trees, he died for the grass, he died for man, he died for the animals. So everything you see here on earth is going to go to heaven, the corn, the grass, you know, because he died, you know. And, you know, I mean, that was a revelation in itself to me. I thought, wow, you know what I mean? So, you know, that was amazing, you know.
Sure. I actually have a comment on that, but we're going to take a quick break for a minute and a half.
Okay.
Just mark the midpoint. We'll be right back.
Okay.
reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communication can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is sold. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen.
Still here with Bert Crevier, and we were just talking about plants and how they're gonna. Jesus died to save the entire world, not just humanity. And something I was watching last night on the Smithsonian Channel, or someone posted it on Facebook actually, showed how plants, they feel things. They actually respond to touch. They have electrical signals that flow throughout their body and so forth, despite. Which is a very different understanding from what scientists thought they were. They didn't think that they had. And they were talking about how other people have seen plants in heaven singing and talking and laughing and so forth. That's a very interesting thing that I was actually watching something about that last night.
Well, if you look at like a cornstalk, Tristan, or a tree, or like balm grass, I mean, they're all pointing up. They're praising God, you know.
Yeah.
They're pointing towards heaven, and they. You're just. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah. That's just a coincidence. Well, you know, I mean. Everything in heaven is alive, you know, and like most everything on earth is alive, you know, the plants, like you say, and it's all connected. Nature, you know how the New Agers say they want to hug a tree, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, God's talking to them too, you know. They may not be right in everything what they're doing, but they're getting part of it right because some of these things are alive, what we're talking about. You know, I'm not saying I believe in New Age, but if we have to get on a level playing field, we will realize that God loves everybody. Nobody, I don't have the market on God. Nobody has the market on God. God has the market on himself, you know.
God is love.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
yeah,
infinite,
that's right.
Love.
And he's going to use whoever and whatever. I mean, he used a donkey once to,
yeah.
You know. I mean, he uses, and that's what's so vast about God is he's infinite, you know. And when I saw the different aspects of, like, the Holy Spirit, I saw the Holy Spirit, he's about, I saw him as a person, as a man. He wore a hood and a cape, you know, but you can't see his face. He's like faceless, you know. And I told that to some people once, and they says, well, you saw the Grim Reaper. Well, you got to think deeper than the Grim Reaper, because what does the devil do? He imitates everything that what God is.
And perverts.
You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah, you know, and he was very peaceful, very loving, and he doesn't want to be recognized because he wants to give the total recognition to Jesus. Well, they said, well, I thought he was a dove. Well, he's that too. I mean, he can manifest himself. I mean, he's the God of the universe, you know.
Yeah.
I had a lot of questions that I asked the Lord. One of them was, what, like, ever happened to the dinosaurs on the earth, you know, after the flood? And he says all reptiles are dinosaurs, like alligators, little lizards, and He says a reptile never stops growing its whole life. In other words, if an alligator could live to be, let's say, 500 or even 100 years old, it would probably be maybe, you know, the length of 2 football fields and probably 40 feet tall. You know what I mean?
Yeah, with snakes, actually, like anacondas that reach 30, 40,
right.
50 feet long.
Right. Yeah, you know, so a reptile never stops growing its whole life, you know, and there's so much catching up that we got to do, because if you mention one thing that somebody's never heard, or let's take like the Nephilim, you know, you'll lose them, you know what I mean? Because, oh, well, that's Old Testament, that's... Well, what was the number one thing that was prevalent during the days of Noah for the Nephilim that Jesus mentioned, you know, and that's what's prevalent on the earth today. And our news media is not touching it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
they don't even know about it, probably.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other thing. But, yeah, it's good to be aware of that stuff, but know that God has more power than any devil or any Nephilim, and we're gonna have the power to rain fire out of heaven for those that have the faith, because it's gonna get so bad on the face of the earth that, you know, it's gonna be like, you know how the Bible, it talks about the wise virgins and the unwise virgins.
Yeah.
Well, they're not talking to unbelievers there. He's talking to believers.
Yeah.
He's
I
talking
know.
To the.
Forget that.
You know, those 5 unwise virgins were not unbelievers. They were Christians and believers, and they're going to find themselves wanting. And I evaluate myself every day, me and my wife, we pray, Lord, help me not to be an unwise virgin, to have my oil lamp filled, whatever that is. You know, is it reading the Word of God? Is it praying in tongues? I'm not for sure. I think it's all that. And just living a holy life for the Lord, you know, because God doesn't really make it clear, you know.
I think it's essentially where is your walk with God? I mean, how
right.
close are you to God? And if you're not close to God, you're not going to be ready when Jesus comes back. I mean,
right.
That's essentially how are you prepared? Well,
you know, because, yeah, you know, because... When you see God is a bit of a mystery. He doesn't give us the whole picture, because he wants us to press in for us to do our part, and you know, and he wants us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, you know, while we're on the earth. Well, one thing that he showed me that, you know, the Bible talks about the unrighteous. And then there's the righteous, and then there's the elect, and then the bride, and then there's the wicked dead. He showed me that the unrighteous were Christians that used to live a godly life, but they became unrighteous. That's why righteous, so it's unrighteous. See, they're different than the wicked dead, you see, because they used to be righteous, see? And nobody can take your salvation away, but it doesn't say anything about you. You can't throw it away. See, he commands us to live a holy life, you know, and fulfill the Great Commission. And this is a lot of lies that the devil, and that's why adultery and fornication has infiltrated the churches. There's a lot of people out there.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to church. They're cheating on their wives and. You know, and this stuff needs to be told, you know, from the pulpit, you know, and, you know, the Lord's given me a commission, and I'm not trying to elevate myself into a big ministry or whatever, but this stuff needs to be told, and people need to be tell the truth, because when you and I stand before God, he's going to say, did you warn people with what I showed you? But no, you know, you feared man rather than God. You know, the Psalms 111 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've lost that fear of the Lord as a corporate, and that's the big thing that's wrong with this country. Everybody is so politically correct and afraid, you know, that they're cowards. What's the Bible say? Whoremongers, liars, cowards will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You know, and that's part of being a coward, is not standing up and telling the truth, you know, because God says his eyes go throughout the earth, and that's why he's intervening, basically, and taking people to heaven so they can have this anointing to do this work, because the power and the grips of the evil are getting so bad and so demonic that God is having to intervene, even though the evil is rising, but so is his glory. And pretty soon there's going to be no gray area. It's all going to be black and white, you know. And
that lines up with a lot of the things God's been telling and showing me over the past year and a half, and before that, too. It's going to get bad.
And the wheat and the tares, you know, you can't tell the wheat and the tares until right before the harvest. The wheat is bent over, but the tares are straight, stiff-necked, straight up, see? And that's what's going on. And you want to be humble, you want to be kind, and you want to be have fruit in your life, and basically just do what God is telling you to do. And if you don't, he's gonna take you out. He's going to take you home, because if you want to be a solution to God's problem, you want to be a solution to his answer, not a problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Definitely.
And I just pray that every person listening right now, that they will open their heart and that they'll receive these words, and they will not fall on stony rocks, that they will fall on the seed in their heart, and that they'll get revelation knowledge from eternity, and that God will... did you want to interject anything, Christian, or say anything? Or
No, I agree with you. If you want to pray for that Enoch anointing on the audience, that would be awesome.
Well, Lord, I pray for every person who's listening on this radio show, wherever they may be, if it's far in another country or here in this country, Lord, that, you know, it says in Hebrews 11, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And by faith we believe that the worlds are framed out of things that are invisible, that were made visible, Lord. And it says that Enoch walked with God, for he was not, for God took him. And in verse 6 it says, and without faith it's impossible to please you, Lord. And for anyone listening, Lord, let them receive it by faith, Lord, that you know, that Tristan has opened his radio show to this Enoch anointing, Lord, and that every person will be blessed, and that you will be glorified, and that we're just the stewards, Lord, and that we're just passing through here, Lord. We're just pilgrims passing through, and we've lived more years than what's left, Lord. And I pray this Enoch anointing and all the revelation power from Genesis to Revelation, the heaven anointing, the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will come down and touch every person in Jesus' name, that they will walk with God, and that they will go out and touch lives and change the world to the four corners until you come, in Jesus' name.
Amen. I come into agreement with that, totally and completely. It's been a pleasure getting to speak with you. I'm going to... pray for you, and I'm going to ask the Bride of Christ to come to agreement with me, everyone who's listening, to bless
okay.
you before we close out, and just whatever
sure.
else God would say to you. So, Bride, we just ask that you would come into agreement right now, hold your hands up, and we want to lift up Bert Revere's mission that I honestly am going to have to listen to this again myself and chew this over, because, wow. Just wow. So, Lord, we come together as the Bride of Christ over Bert Revere's ministry. We pray over his vision, his heart, and his mission. We pray that you send forth a host of angels from heaven to bring reinforcements to him, his family, to his ministry, and to all of his team, Lord. Everyone that you're bringing in to help him get this out, Lord. Because I believe that you have other people that have gotten this vision, that have gotten some of this understanding and revelation and that you want to bring them together so that they can get this out, so that people can understand it and hear it, because this is, there's just so much revelation in what you have shown, Bert, and so much that just stirs my spirit that makes me want to get deeper into this, Lord. So we speak in the spirit. We hold up his arms like Aaron did with Moses. We gather around him and speak life. We speak abundance of rain to him. We speak all strategies, sources, strength, and tools that he will need to accomplish his mission be supplied to him. We support our brother and thank you for downloading this mission into him, Father. We thank you for him being on the broadcast today, and we thank you for acceleration in his ministry and vision, increasing the prophetic dreams, visions, downloads from heaven being taken into the throne room and increasing revelation there, and increasing his finances to accomplish all that he seeks and all that you have set before him. No weapon formed against him shall prosper. And Father, I just lift him up and I ask that you would show him the exact steps that you have before him to get this message out, to get this understanding out, and these deep things that so many people need to hear, Lord, that would take people past that milk stage into eating solid food and eating meat, Lord, that you would show him exactly how to get out to the bride of Christ, to the body of Christ in general, this meat that needs to be set before them, Lord. And I thank you that the steps have already been planned before he was even born, that they are written in his book of destiny that it talks about in Psalm 139, Lord. And I thank you that he is faithfully walking out everything that you have set before him, and that he has been obedient, and that he has been willing to sacrifice and do whatever it is that you ask of him, Lord. And I just ask that you bless him for that. I thank you that the future holds surprises for him, that it holds not twists along the path, but there are things that there is going to be people that come alongside him in the next year that are going to strengthen him and that are going to bring revelation that's going to match with what he said, that is going to bring deep revelation to both of them, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for these pairings, these other people that have been taken to heaven with him, that were there at the same time he was, that have been there, that have gotten different pieces than he's gotten, Lord, and that have been studying the Word and getting deep into the Word, Lord. And I thank you that as those people come together, as he meets these people over the next year, that he will be strengthened as well, and that they will all know the plan to get this message out, because it needs to be gotten out so desperately, Father. I just ask that you bless him. We thank you so much for him. And the Lord bless you and keep you, Bert. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Tristan, and bless all the people out there. And I'll be praying for you, and it was nice talking to you.
Likewise. Well, everyone just thank Bert and ask God to bless him whenever he comes to mind over the coming months and years.
And, yes.
Everyone have a great day.